The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid, to take a
stand, See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust you had a great weekend. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. Unless I am mistaken, on Wednesday, the government should be introducing the 2023-2024 budget communication and estimates of revenue and expenditure. It is typical that on the last Wednesday in May, that the government, following the mandate of the Constitution to lay this estimates of revenue and expenditure before Parliament prior to the upcoming fiscal period. So the government has decided that it would do so on the last Wednesday in May. That wasn't always the case, but it is the case now. So between January and February, the Ministry of Finance would have sent out a call circular, it's called, which is a note to ministries, so it would go to the permanent secretaries, indicating that the new budget preparation process is beginning, and so that the ministries would begin to gather their budget numbers, what they believe, if they are revenue receiving ministries, they are likely to take in, and what they are, most all of them, what they would expect to spend in terms of salaries and emoluments, rents and leases and travel in and outside of the Bahamas, postage, telecommunications, and all other expenditures they expected to make submissions ultimately, eventually, to the Ministry of Finance in the course of this process. So they would also have estimates of capital works that they believe needs to happen, new programs or projects that they believe they want to take on. And then they would have, over the period of February to May, before the budget is presented, to defend their requests and expenditure proposals, and take cuts and make adjustments and come back and argue for more with the Ministry of Finance. It's a rigorous process that takes place sometimes up to the night before the budget is presented. And so in that process, you can have a Minister of Finance who is very involved, especially insofar as the big ticket items are concerned. or one who is not so involved and who tends to leave things up to the technicians and basically only gets in it on the programmatic things. So I want to get this done. I want to try and see this test and so forth and so forth. You know, might not be as engaged on the revenue per forecast side of things, but relies more heavily on the technicians to get to deliver up on those forecasts and so forth. So, but or you can have one who's very involved and, you know, watching the thing from start to finish and weighing in on them and holding those meetings and sitting in those meetings and arguing with ministers and arguing with ministries and arguing with departments about what they are requesting. So you can have anything from those two extremes to anything in between take place. But at the end of the day, what is presented on Wednesday is that document that says, we believe that over the next 12 months, beginning July 1, 2023, and ending June 30th, 2024, we will collect this amount of revenue overall, and broken down this amount in VAT, this amount in business license, this amount in custom duties, this amount in excise, this amount in lease revenue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we expect to spend overall this amount and broken down by ministry heads in terms of ministries by this amount, this amount, this amount, this amount, this amount. And then the net difference of that is revenue less expenditure leaves a deficit of this X hundred millions of dollars. And we're going to therefore need to borrow X sum of money in order to make up this deficit. That's really what the budget says. It's a plan for revenue collection and expenditure. And so that is expected to be delivered on right on Wednesday. On Tuesday, tomorrow, I'll tell you what my expectations are arising in the, well, what my expectations are for the upcoming budget period, what I believe you should look for and will likely see. And so that's on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday afternoon, having had the budget communication delivered, we'll go through the initial look at what is laid out in the communication in particular. And then on Thursday, we'll do a more in-depth analysis of what you see in the budget. And so that's really the plan for the week. Today, I see that the government and the opposition are having an argument over a green paper that the government has released. Though in point of fact, what seems to have happened was that somehow this green paper got leaked. It got leaked. The Tribune got hold of it. And the government then decided, or the government then subsequent to that, released the document. Now, in Westminster parlance, there are white papers and there are green papers. A government white paper is really a definitive statement of policy of what the government is going to do. That meaning that pretty much things have been decided, and largely that follows follows the introduction of legislation to bring about what the government has decided, or policy action to deliver up on what the government has decided. But by and large, you're not really getting a say in that. It's a white paper. It's done. We've concluded the matter, and this is what we're going to do. A green paper is a discussion document, a consultation document, one where the government is saying, okay, this is what we are looking at, but please weigh in. Tell us what your thoughts are. Tell us what you think, what your recommendations are, et cetera. And depending then for on the feedback, et cetera, you might get a finalization of that paper in the form of a white paper, which says we've decided. Having listened, having gotten contributions and input, we now decided, and then there is a, somebody's telling me the budget is, today is the 22nd. Yes, the budget is next forgive me, next week. I was running ahead of myself. So now you know what's going to happen next week. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. For some reason, I thought this was the last Wednesday in the month. But anyways, next week. So the white paper, the green paper that the government has released officially now, has to do with a set of options that it's looking at insofar as a corporate income tax is concerned. So in our country today, we essentially do not tax income-wise corporations. Certainly, the multinational corporations that call the Bahamas home, we do not tax. We might get some fees from them, but we really don't tax them in accordance with their income. Now, on the domestic side of things, we tax businesses on gross revenue. So we are also not basically taxing their income. We are taxing their revenue. And that normally is somewhere between 0.5% and 1.5% of their gross revenue. Okay, so if you're making, say, $300,000 and you're paying 0.5% on that, I mean, you know, the license you're paying is really minimal, right? So the government is now proposing the introduction of a corporate tax. And why is it doing that? Well, we don't have to guess. I mean, the government in its green paper has indicated why it's doing so, right? So sometimes you have discussions with people and, you know, they're guessing about why the government is doing what it's doing, et cetera. Well, in this instance, the government is saying so. The government says in the green paper, that what it's seeking to do is to respond to international developments in terms of the OECD and the G20 countries. So the government says recent economic shocks have caused an increase in the nation's debt to GDP ratio and the cost of borrowing is increasing internationally. Business taxation for multinational entities is converging to adopt a global minimum rate in 2024 in accordance with the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development Pillar 2 rules, to which the Bahamas is a signatory. And so the government, in responding to both these issues, has engaged Deloitte and Touche to produce some proposals for consideration as to what might be a corporate tax for the Bahamas. What could be the structure of that, and what would be the level of the taxation and what would be the likely potential impact from it. So the weightier matter, the thing that's really driving this is once again, international pressure. Yes, international pressure. The developed countries of the OECD. And who are those? Who are the OECD countries? The United States of America, Belgium, Spain, Sweden, Greece, Austria, Norway, Turkey, South Korea, Portugal, New Zealand, Iceland, Slovakia, Luxembourg, Hungary, Switzerland, Czechia, Finland, Ireland, Japan, Lithuania, Poland, Slovenia, Latvia, Netherlands, Israel, Canada, Estonia, Italy, Chile, United Kingdom, France, Denmark, Australia, Germany. Those are the OECD countries. So if you want to know who's applying the pressure to you, there they are. They're countries you know, some you like, right? Israel is in there. God's country, right? Italy is in there. Canada, the nice country, is in there. Australia is in there, right? The United States is there, the United Kingdom. So these are the OECD countries. And they join forces with the G20 countries. Who are they? Most of them same countries. But who else is in there? The G20 countries now. So in case you start shopping around and saying, why are they doing this to us? Let me tell you who the G20 countries are. India, Indonesia, Australia, Japan, United Kingdom, South Korea, China, Turkey, Germany, France, Mexico, South America, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Canada, Italy, Argentina, and Brazil. So those combinations of countries, some of whom are in both the OECD and the G20, decided that, listen, here's what's happening. The digitization of the global economy, meaning the extent to which transactions that once were taking place in person, physically, can now take place over in a digital format, over the internet and over these computerized communications networks. The extent to which those two things have converged to produce changes, profound changes in the global economy, have also converged to erode a 100-year-old rules-based system of taxation in the world. 100 years. The system hasn't changed in 100 years. The way they tax and treat global business, particularly multinational business. What is multinational business? These corporations that have presence in multiple nations across the world. You can be a global business without being a multinational business. A global business can do business across the world because it's selling business to multiple jurisdictions, but it doesn't have a presence in multiple jurisdictions. But multinational corporations actually have a presence in multiple nations. And they have had a means of taxing these kinds of corporations, these multinationals, for the same way for 100 years. And they say, listen, the rules have changed now. And so what is happening, let me tell you what's driving this. They say what is happening is these companies, these multinational corporations, especially the big, the very large ones, have organized their affairs in such a way that they no longer pay taxes in accordance with where they actually operate and generate their value. They pay taxes by virtue of other configurations about their business activity. So what they have therefore done is eroded our tax base, meaning we beat countries that used to be able to tax them and get more money out of them are finding ourselves unable to get more money out of them because they now have a presence in the Bahamas and a presence in Delaware or somewhere. Well, most of these small guys are in the Bahamas. And on the basis of the income they generate there and how they do their bookkeeping, we no longer get to tax them appropriately. That's the sad person. Then they say, not only are they doing that, the way they're doing it is they are shifting their profits to places where we don't get to extract from them the level of taxation that we used to. And so that's a problem for us. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. Our first break, and when we come back, we'll continue looking at what's driving this corporate tax issue in the Bahamas. We'll be back after this break. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
The sixth edition of the Bahamas Games are on the way. July 7th through the 15th, get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win? It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the B-Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, call 809-1242 or visit thebahamasgames.org.
Babe, you marched the car?
I marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We're talking about the row the government is having with the opposition over a recently released green paper on corporate taxation in the Bahamas, a proposal to introduce corporate taxation in the Bahamas. So I was telling you this is being driven by OECD, G20 countries, and you could take your pick of them that you like and don't like. They're all involved. The big countries are all involved. They are all involved. So you can't run and hide to Canada. You can't run and go complain to Israel. Israel is not a big country, but it's one of them countries we like to say, you know, that's God's country. You can't run and hide and complain to the United States or the UK. You know, they're all involved. You can't go to China and complain. They're involved too. They're in the G20. What are they saying? They're saying, listen, we need a global anti-base erosion model rules. It's called GLOBE. Global anti-base erosion. So don't erode my tax base. model rules. And so they got this Pillar 2 initiative that they are having countries sign on to. And of the countries in the world that have signed on to it, there are, since 2013, 140 such countries have signed on to it, including the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And these rules essentially, there are 15 rules that they are implementing, essentially trying to do three things. Trying to monitor cross-border activity, capture that in terms of taxation. They're trying to reinforce what they call substance. Substance meaning we don't want you to have these shell companies that really only have represent paper corporations that exist in your country with some brass plate on some law firm or other firm. We want you to have an actual presence, an actual operation in the country, offices and staff and these kinds of things to tell us that you are literally doing business in that country or from within that country. So cross-border activity, they're monitoring, reinforcing substance. You got to have a real and genuine, authentic presence and operations in the country. And then transparency, we want to know what you're doing. We want to be able to see what you're doing so we can tax it. Those three things. And so the expectation was that these 15 rules seeking to do those three things that would be implemented by 2023. That's this year. Right? And again, the more refined initiative, the Pillar 2 initiative, has 135 countries that have signed on, including the Bahamas. And those 135 countries represent 95% of the global GDP, global gross domestic product. In other words, folks, they're not running and hiding from this. Everybody who's anybody then sign on to it. Everybody who is anybody in nations have signed on to it. Right? I mean, so that's 95% of gross domestic product. And so the rules really target companies, multinational companies that have revenue, global income of 750 million euros or more. 750 million euros. Those are huge companies, right? So that ain't your mom and pop stores around here. That is not most companies in the Bahamas owned by Bahamians. No, just simply not. Not most, not any that I can think of. It's a multinational corporation. Right? And so that's about 811 million US dollars. So if the company is multinational, it has income based on its consolidated financial statement of $800 million, then this is who's being targeted for that global initiative. Right? And so there are companies who are international business companies registered in the Bahamas who fit that profile. For sure. Let's be sure. They do fit that profile. And so in terms of trying to comply with these rules that the government of the Bahamas has signed on to among the 135 countries that have done so, this green paper exists as a consultation document. And what is the government doing in the green paper? What is the government seeking to do? It's seeking to ask the stakeholders to help it identify the appropriate corporate income tax policy. What do you mean by appropriate corporate income? This is not personal income taxes, folks. This is not you going to work, collecting your paycheck, and then the government taxing you. That's not what this is about. This is about corporate taxation. Okay? And this is about this is about companies operating. So it wants to identify what the appropriate such policy is. And so a part of that is, okay, what would be the design features of the policy, right? What would be the things that the government would take into account as it looks at the income to tax? You have the revenue. Okay, what expenditures might be incorporated or considered when you look at netting off so that that income is the income that's taxed? So you're taxing profitability as opposed to gross revenue. And to what extent would that consideration be made? How might that consideration be made? All these kinds of things. And then it wants to look at the compliance of that CIT, that corporate income tax, with the rules that the OECD has in Pillar 2. Would you meet the minimum taxation level of 15, global taxation level being proposed of 15%, and so forth and so forth? So that's the first thing the government's seeking to do in the green paper. The second thing it's seeking to do is to assess the potential impact of the corporate income tax on the businesses' cost that are involved, those businesses that will be impacted, their cost, on the economy at large, on employment, growth, investments, et cetera, and then on government revenue itself, whether government revenue gets enhanced by this, remains the same, or becomes lower by it. So they're trying to assess the potential impact. They're also trying to make some determinations about the current business tax policy of the Bahamas, which is to tax business, to charge a business license fee on gross revenue. At the moment, the average take of the business license fee, according to the government's green paper, is 1% of GDP. So if your GDP is $12 billion, the government says that business license fees bring in only 1% of that. They say the global standard and among OECD countries, corporate income taxes is 3%. So the government wants to look at that and then look at whether you continue to do this tax on turnover or you look at moving away from that. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Rulain, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, ma, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again, how does this work?
We can call them in Miami at 328 tips or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300 tips or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shabar Gulang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon as we talk about the green paper, corporate income tax green paper that the government is putting out. Listen, I hope that you are understanding what is being put forward in the green paper based on what I am providing to you, I hope. And if you don't, please feel free to ask any question you want. And we'll try and clarify it for you. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So what the government then is seeking to do is to find a tax, corporate income tax policy that can be competitive, meaning you don't want a tax rate that makes people look at you and go, please, hell what, set up in that country? No, not going to happen. So you want to be competitive in terms of your rate. You want to have international compliance. You also don't want a rate that the OECD and the G20 countries go and say, that's hogwash. They're just trying to provide some token, something. Get rid of them. Get rid of it. They don't comply. They want to make sure that there's revenue increase to the government. So the government always could use and wants more revenue. And then they want to ground it in simplicity, meaning you don't need a complicated system that's hard to enforce because that's going to make compliance a problem. So what is the government proposing in the green paper? Well, there are four options. There are four options. So let me see. Someone says you should explain all. okay. This text says that good day. A simple question today. What the difference between green paper versus white paper? You obviously came in late. I explain a green paper is a government consultation document. So when you see it on green paper, they're saying we're open for discussion. We're trying to get your input. A white paper is we're done with discussing. This is what we're going to do. So that's the difference. One is a command paper, essentially, and the other one is we're open for consultation paper, right? So you should explain all the, this to Pintar. He doesn't appear to understand what's happening based on his statement yesterday. Also, it is completely understood that the G8 and OECD determine the framework for what taxation should look like for the rest of the world. And those developed countries have tax laws that allow the multinationals they're targeting to get away with paying virtually no corporate tax. Completely unfair. You know, the thing about it in this instance, though, is fairness, unfairness, hey, in the world of international law, even the power is the one that makes the rule because nobody else can do anything about it. But in this instance, though, these countries are signing on, right? We're all signing on to this and to do this. And, you know, largely out of necessity, because to do otherwise brings you into problems, et cetera. So, I mean, I truly believe that there is unfairness in the international community and the way it works in terms of global regulations. There's no question about it. But I just don't take up the argument anymore because it doesn't make sense. It's like being in a ring with a very large boxer and the people out who can regulate what happens in the ring are much weaker than the boxer. And he then decides to pound on you, and the referee's going to do exactly what? That's really what it is like. So what you then have to do is do what you can to think about how your smallness might at some point be an advantage while you try to survive, you know? So, yeah, we don't really have a choice in the matter, but the unfairness is a principle and it isn't clearly there. And, you know, you should say so, you could argue it and so forth. And in the meantime, you do what you can to survive the big punches and blows that they may put on you because you ain't obedient. So hence, we don't get to say, oh, look at this one ain't complying, this one ain't signing on. Everybody pretty much signing on, pretty much doing it because they are all sensible enough to know what is in their interest or not. So what is the government proposing as options? One, a 15% compliant Pillar 2 regime. 15%. Meaning, if you are a corporation making over $750 million in income on your consolidated accounts, so whether you have a portion of that in the Bahamas or not, 15% should be the tax applied to your portion here in the Bahamas. 15%. The government saying, that's it, do that, that's the end of it. What's option two? You apply that 15% to those 750 million plus income earners, multinational corporations. You charge a 10% rate for every other business. That includes all the rest on here. If you're under $750 million, you charge 10% on your net income to all of you. Okay, everybody. Option three is you tax the 750 million plus earners, income earners, the 15% compliant amount. In addition to that, though, you tax 12% on anyone who is earning more than 0.5 of $1 million in income. Any business earning more than 0.5 of $1 million, they get taxed 12%. And any business earning under 0.5 million dollars would get taxed the same as they're getting taxed now under the business license fee. So nothing would change for any business earning under 0.5 million dollars. And that would be the vast majority of licensees of the government of the Bahamas. So you would stay under the same regime, while anybody above that $500,000, so you could think with your head right now who would be included among that? Just look at the food stores, look at the gas stations. So what they and these appliance stores and them, they would get charged 12% on their net income. Okay? So that's the third option. The final option is you charge all the 750 million earners the 15%. So there's no option under which they don't get charged the 15%. You charge anyone under $5 million 10%. Okay? So 15% for all of the 750 earners. No, the options four is 15% to every single one except the $0.5 million or less, which would get taxed 10%. So on the option four, it's much simpler. Do you make under $500,000? Yes, you get taxed 10%. Do you make over $500,000? You get taxed 15%. So those are your four options. Okay? You need me to go over them again? those are your four options. So there's no option where a entity that is a multinational corporation earning over $750 million doesn't pay 15%. No option. There is only one option in which if you're earning under $500,000, which is most Bahamian small businesses, only one option under which you don't continue to pay what you're doing now. Well, actually, you have one option in which you do continue to pay what you're doing now. Only one option. All the other options, you're going to see a rate of taxation that's 10% or more. Okay? So in other words, there's only one option in which things stay the same for those small businesses in the Bahamas earning under $0.5 million, $500,000. And the government is asking, so the government has a series of questions in the green paper that it is asking the stakeholders to weigh in on. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about how are you supposed to help to decide what to do? Right? How are you supposed to decide what's good for you, what's not good for you? If you're a business in the Bahamas hanging out there, wondering, hell, what is this going to mean for me? A man, many, many Bahamian businesses have not really paid the kind of detailed attention to their financial circumstances to be able to say, okay, well, my net income in truth is this. They have an idea like I am making money or not, especially on a cash basis. But there are lots of businesses that are more sophisticated and they're able to say what it is that they earn in terms of net income, especially since some of them have to produce audited financial statements. So somebody's asking 10% of sales or 10% of income, 10% of income, not gross revenue. This is called a corporate income tax. Not 10% of revenue, not 10% of sales, 10% of income, net income, meaning whatever revenue less the deductions the government provides for. I don't know what the deductions are. It's going to be full deductions. I don't know. But whatever the net income is, and the typical definition of net income is, you know, you take your gross revenue and you extract from that all expenses, including depreciation, right? And so is that going to be a factor too? I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabbar Bulang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we've been talking about the government's leaked and released green paper on corporate income tax in the Bahamas, a proposal for introducing a corporate income tax. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. To be sure, I can't tell you whether it's going to happen this year or not. I would say it's a fairly good bet it'll happen this year. But the Bahamas is going to have a corporate income tax. To be sure, you could be sure of that. All right? One day, I don't know how soon, it'll have a personal income tax too. One day. But you could be sure of corporate income tax coming. Why? I said it before. This initiative is being driven by the OECD. They are the most powerful countries on planet Earth. And the G20, they are the most powerful countries on planet Earth. And you are not going to have a global initiative that is supported by the United States of America. And especially one of course supported by the United States of America and China, along with the UK and France and Germany and Italy and them. And you are going to say, nah, I'm not messing with that. It's not going to happen. The best the government can do is look at the situation and make a determination, okay, we can swing that way. Now, how do I get to make this of a benefit overall to the country? How do I make this such that it might enhance our attractiveness as a jurisdiction to do business? How might I make this such that maybe it produces some new revenue for me that I can use to improve my fiscal situation, et cetera? That's the best the government can do. And then strategize long-term for a economic profile that's less susceptible to these whimsical maturations of the global community. Because this is not the end of it. To be sure, we're here at this now, this the Globe thing. We did the blacklisting thing in the financial services community. It's going to be a next. It's going to be a next, right? And so you brace for it. You decide, what is my economy going to look like that makes me less vulnerable? Or to reduce the impact of these things, as one of my great friends told me in a discussion of these things happening. So the government and the opposition was having a row. So the opposition took a position that it thinks that the green paper is half-baked. Now, from my understanding, what the opposition is saying is we would have taken a more comprehensive approach to it. We would have considered it in the context of government expenditure and overall government tax reform and all that kind of stuff. So that's what it means by half-baked. It has concerns about it, mainly based on this, that to the extent that this new corporate income tax might mean new revenue for the government, and it does, according to the green paper, proposed the government could see up to $145 million a year anew in revenue from it. They say, we don't trust the government on getting any new revenue because they have not demonstrated a discipline in terms of spending, and they have not demonstrated a willingness to be transparent in terms of spending the people's money. So we don't want to give them more money to spend loosely and so forth. So that's essentially what the opposition seems to have said. The government came back and said, are you serious? Are you serious? First of all, why are you even arguing that we have put out a consultation paper? How do you argue with a consultation paper? Do you understand what we're talking about? A consultation paper. I remember when what's his name from the Philadelphia 76ers, Allen Iverson said, we're here talking about practice? About practice? About practice? So the government said, mute consultation? Really? So, and then the government turns around to say, listen, we have been transparent. We have been out there trying to ensure that what we are doing, the people of the Bahamas are aware of, and so forth and so forth, is in mind. Do your politics. So I'm not, do your politics. I understand how that goes, right? You push your politics out. I understand how that goes. I'm not criticizing anybody for playing the politics. You got to play your politics. You got to point and counterpoint. I'm all about that. I understand that. I understand how that goes. But honestly, I read those press releases and I thought, really? Seriously? Okay. But of course, these may be preliminary strikes at it, right? Fundamentally, let me say, whether the government was strategic, well, not strategic, but whether the government came late to the party in releasing the green paper, which seems to have been the case, it seems to have followed a leak or not. It is good to put the document out there for consultation. The opposition seems to argue too that, you know, well, why didn't you, this is a green paper, why don't you come to Parliament, lay it out there in a form of communication? You know, that would have been useful. The opposition has taken the posture on several occasions to be prepared to be cooperative. And let me say this, listen. There is no question that under Michael Pintard's leadership, that he has taken a posture that invites a departure from the way things happen in this country, in which he wants to be a part of the process of making determinations on things where they can perhaps cooperate on. He's certainly adopted that posture. And having spoken to him my own self, I know that that's how he feels genuinely. Now, I have argued with him. I said, listen, bro, as noble as that is, I don't know too many people who are ready for that in this country, not the way we do politics, not the tribalistic nature with which we do politics. Now, for sure, we might do it. What do you mean? What do you mean for sure? You make sure you take the leader of the opposition. Well, the leader of the opposition accepts the invite to go to the coronation, and then you treat the leader of the opposition as a leader of the opposition. We treat, and then we cooperate around that thing so you can go later on and boast about how you treated the leader of the opposition, right? We might cooperate, but cooperate around things where I can probably say later on that this is what we did instead of this is what we did along with the opposition. We are not there. But I can tell you that is his mindset. And so his thought was that this is one of those things on which that kind of effort could be had. Well, again, I commend his optimism about the capacity for such cooperation. I even encourage it, but we're not there. But the document is out for consultation. I read it through, and you know, the fundamentals, the foundations are there for a reasonable look at it and consideration of it. But the truth of the matter is, what are you, in looking at that document, supposed to say to government? Seriously, what are you supposed to say to government? No, it shouldn't be 10%, it should be 5%. Why? It shouldn't be 10%, it should be 20%. Why? Why would you, as a business entity, why would you, as a business person, know better? Now, those major corporations who get to say, no, you shouldn't charge me 15%, the minimum that the global community is going to be implementing. You should charge me 12-10%. Why? Why? And when they come for me, you're going to do what? Carry your backside out of my country. So what should I do? So really, I don't see outside of the Bahamas' domestic businesses for the most part, and those businesses that are not at the $750 million threshold, I don't see what they are supposed to say. Because if I'm a business, making over $750 million, what I want to say to you is this global minimum tax is coming. It's 15%. I get 21% in Europe. I get 20-some percent in the U.S. You're going to charge me 15%. You're below all of them. Okay, do the minimum. Am I going to be against that? I don't see that. I don't see how that works. If you are below that threshold, what are you going to say to the government outsider? I need the minimum amount of tax you could charge me. So I want 1%. I want 2%. The truth is, what every single one of these businesses now have to go and do is make a determination about what their net income is. So let's suppose you are a business today making $1 million. And the government of the Bahamas is now taxing you at 0.75% of 1%. Okay? So the government is charging you 0.75% of 1%. I want to do something for you if I could get to my thingamajig here. So if you're making $1 million and getting charged 0.75% of 1%, you're paying the government business license fee of $7,500. $7,500. That's what the government is getting from you today, if it collects it. Now, that's on your growth. That's on your revenue. That's on your gross revenue. Now the government says, well, for option one, I want to charge you. For option one, I want to charge you 15% of your net income. Well, now you start taking out all your expenses, salaries, rent, loan payments, all them kind of stuff, depreciation. And so you say, let's say your net income then ends up being $100,000. The government says, well, of $100,000, I'm gonna take 15% under option one. And so you're gonna pay me $15,000. That's gonna be double your current payment to the government on a net income of $100,000. you're paying more. So for you to pay the same as you're paying now, your net income has to be $50,000. So what other deductions you gonna find to put in there? Oh, I increased my salaries. My own take home pay as me, my children, and everybody else who work in the company. Oh, I'm gonna increase my depreciation. Then the government starts thinking, no, something don't look right here. I need you to audit these accounts. See? So how are you supposed to really look at what these options could mean for you? Right? Under option two, under the same scenario, under option two, you would pay 10%, and so you'd pay $10,000, so you're still paying more. Under option three, you would pay 15% again, but anyone who's under $5 million, or under $500,000, which is not you, would pay the same as they pay now would pay the 10%, okay? And so, like, you have to, in order for you to look at this, so all that stuff in the document, a lot of it is background information, so don't worry about the length of the document. A lot of that is background information. That's just talk. It's rhetoric. It's you know, it's stuff to give you context, and that's important, but that's not the substance of it. The substance of it is what the government recommends in terms of the license fee to be charged. And the only way for you to be able to know what that would mean is you would have to do a comparison between what you currently pay and what you would pay under that new scenario. And then we'll talk after we come back from the break on how you speak to what that might mean in terms of impact on you and your business, okay? You're listening to C-Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300. 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
My Gateway is the centralized, safe, secure way to access and pay for government services online. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and log in to request a police character certificate, renew your passport or driver's license, and more. Receive emails confirming requests and alerts when documents are ready. You must have a valid government-issued ID in order to collect documents. MyGateway is fast, easy, and convenient. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and register today.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity. It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it. My sales increased, and I can track my earnings. Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today. Call 356-7764. Fidelity, we're
good for you. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. I love
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We're talking about the government's green paper on corporate income tax. I do not have a difficulty with the paper. I do not. I think that it is well-structured. I think that the points are, you know, clear enough to understand. I don't think that this is a particularly complicated issue insofar as the presentation of the information is concerned. I think where the complication arises is in the consideration of businesses as to how to think through what this would mean for me. I can tell you this much. Chances are for most businesses, for most of the options, this is going to result in higher taxation. But you don't have to believe me. The paper says that. If the government is only able to get an additional $145 million if it's getting an additional $145 million from businesses. And that can only happen if you're paying more than you were paying before. So that's clear, right? So when those businesses then think about the impact, then if you take the example I just gave, you're paying the government $7,500 now on $1 million in gross revenue. Under the scenario that I indicated, you're going to pay the government between $10,000 and $15,000. So you are going to pay more. So you have to ask yourself, will that additional $3,500 to $7,500 mean I have to cut out an employee in order to make up that difference? Do I have to shift downward some expenditure to make up the difference? And it is this kind of consideration that has the economic impact that we tend to talk about. Because if companies reduce their expenditure, reduce staff in order to avoid losing profitability on the basis of paying the government more taxes, that's where you start to look at unemployment rising, GDP growth going down because they're not using that money to invest anymore and so forth. And that's why the income equation that we in economics use for gross domestic product always says where government taxation rises, growth of the economy declines. And that's the assumption behind that, is that you're taking productive capital out of the economy and putting it in the hands of government, and that's just not going to have the effect on the economy that one would want in the long run. And so you don't typically see increase in taxation leading to growth. You see the opposite thing happening, right? At some point, it gets so counterproductive that is really, it's very contractionary for the economy. And so when I read that there are no options under which there is not a negative impact, I was like, what option could there be where the government is taxing and there's a positive impact on the economy? There is none. There is none. That's just not, practically speaking and theoretically speaking, plausible, right? And so that there's nothing surprising about that. You will take a hit. Now, over the long term, as businesses adjust and adapt, become more innovative and creative for other reasons other than the government, then you get expansion again. So it doesn't have to last for any significant period of time and tank the economy and that kind of stuff. But to think that you will increase government taxation and not take a hit on the economy is foolhardy. And look at what happened when we implemented VAT. You had a couple of years where the economy slowed. Look at what happened when we raised VAT. Under the Christie administration, it was introduced. Under the Menes administration, it was raised. And in both instances, there was a negative impact on the economy, right? And that's that's understandable. I mean, and that was in the $500 million extraction. This is calling for $145 million, so it might be more modest what you find as a consequence, but it is going to happen. This text says, This text says under 500,000 still pay percentage of sales. Okay, let me tell you something. If you're gonna not read the paper, then don't argue what the paper says. There are four options. And only one of those options, you still pay percentage of sales tax. Not all three, but not the other three. Under the other three, you pay either 15%, 10%, or 12%. Okay, if you're not gonna read the paper, then you know, at least ask the question. Don't state with the affirmatively what the answer it what the thing is. This text says, Selang, if the government changed today, the opposition would continue that same green paper they would now object to. Would you agree that most, if not all, of the laws that truly transform our nation comes from international bodies, that this is furthering the formation of the world government, the new world order? To your last questions, no, I am not suggesting, well, I do not agree that this is furthering the formation of the new world order. But I could see how you could think that because there is this consolidation of power and consolidating of things. And so I mean, you know, I don't know. So I'm not going to sit here and say definitively, you ask me what I think and I'm telling you what I think. I don't think so, but you know, you could be absolutely. Tech says, when you talk about what the opposition is likely to do, I agree with you 100% actually. I don't think much will change. I really don't. This text says, Mr. Lang, do you think some businesses will cut staff due to this corporate tax? It's possible. It's possible. But, you know, again, it depends on the extent to which they really take a hit on having to pay those taxes. So I don't know, but it is possible. It says, don't you think this floating of multinational corporate tax may be a distraction from growing crypto and carbon credits if the absence of the tax up to now has inured to us as a major incentive for foreign investment and the government is spent on increasing our market share? I don't think so. I don't agree with you at all. This text says, hi, Mr. Lang, great show. Help me, please. I don't know much about accounts. Corporate income tax, meaning when people shop at food stores, we will get some funds back at the end of the year, like the U.S. Thank you, sir. No, that's not what that. What you're talking about is an income, is a personal income tax. That's not this. So this is not that at all. This is corporate income tax is taxing companies, businesses. So you don't get anything back. You only... What you're talking about is something you would get back on personal income taxes, depending on the rules that the government applies. So that's not this. It says, Mr. Lang, I doubt we will implement a corporate tax because we are considered a tax haven and we have been a tax haven from before you were in office, but I'll wait on it. My friend, you are so off. The Bahamas does not even go around anymore saying it's a tax haven. In fact, to say you're a tax haven is a taboo. You might as well run around the world saying, you know what, I'm a terrorist state. It's a taboo. It's nonsense. We don't call ourselves tax havens anymore. We don't want to be called that anymore. Okay, and so you are not right actually. This corporate tax is coming. And to be honest with you, the financial services community isn't even gun shy about it. This is even not an issue anymore. So clearly you need to be more aware of what has happened in the financial services sector to understand better that tax havens is not a term we use for ourselves. It says, are the foreign banks also paying new income taxes? Well, not just the foreign banks, but any corporation, depending on which option the government chooses, that they will pay the corporate tax, yes. It's not just the foreign banks, any bank. And to be sure, don't look at whether the foreign banks and the Bahamian banks are paying it, because if they pay more taxes and it increases their expenses, what do you think is going to happen to you for them to make up, foreign or Bahamian? So it's you know, don't get caught up in the foreign Bahamian business. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together. together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Make your morning sizzle with breakfast from Burger King Nassau. Enjoy not one, but two delicious sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches made just for you for only $5.75 including VAT. This breakfast classic is made with Burger King's savory sizzling sausage and melted American cheese on that classic buttery croissant you love. So say hello to sizzling mornings at Burger King with two sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches for only $5.75 including VAT. Only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Mocha frap with almond milk. No whip?
That's me. Thanks. I know what I want for my coffee and for my wealth management plan. That's why I rely on the personalized care I get from my dedicated RF Private Wealth Advisor. With RF, I get a customized strategy designed for what's important to me, like protecting my assets, evolving with changing markets, and making sure my money keeps on growing. For tailor-made wealth management, I trust RF Private Wealth.
Learn more at rfgroup.com.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad you could join us. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, the government seems to be very aggressive with tax collections and the methods by which they go about collecting them. I have no issue with tax collection, but it doesn't appear that they think of the results of their methods, and this is where the problem exists. As an example, Customs Department has implemented an additional step when clearing particular goods. The additional step requires approval from the Ministry of Finance. What are the results of this additional step? One, longer wait period for clearing goods. Two, potential demurrage charges if approval not given in time. Three, a need for more human resources at Ministry of Finance to accommodate this. And four, decrease in the ease of doing business, et cetera, et cetera. So this government needs to think more deeply about the way they collect and or implement taxes. It's becoming frustrating. You know, that's actually a point that's made whenever you're doing trade classes or you're doing tax classes or stuff like that. They try to talk about thinking through the not just the, what we call the incident of the tax, as in who the tax falls on, but also the impact of the tax, as in who it affects. And so there are rules that tend to arise with respect to taxation that say, for instance, if you're going to implement a tax, then you know, make sure it's enforceable, because an unenforceable tax is really not practical to put in place. It, you know, you talk about fairness testing, the tax and those kinds of things. And then there is the procedure for the tax compliance that has to be taken into consideration. And if you're going to implement a tax that ultimately causes your business community and environment to deteriorate, then is it worth it to you to actually do that? And so, yes, there has to be consideration for the implications of a tax. And I saw this when I was, I had a small business in Freeport, and I was bringing in some stuff through the boat, the ferry. And the government had implemented a process in which actually as a small business, I couldn't just declare my stuff to customs right there at the harbor and make the payment. I had to go through a broker. And while that's money for the broker, that's like 3 days for me to get the stuff clear. This was at that time. I don't know what happens now. And so, yes, there is the need to always consider the operational implications of the policies we implement as government, because at the end of the day, you are not what you want to be if your business community is not what it desires to be. Can I say that again? A country is not capable of being what it wants to be if its business community cannot be what they desire to be, at least be able to comfortably strive to be what they desire to be, because it is not just a question of the owners of business making money. That's one thing that keeps them motivated, incentivized to keep doing what they're doing. But it is in their motivation and incentivization and operation that the society gets the goods and services that it needs. That's the biggest thing. Think about that. The quality of life you enjoy in the Bahamas is tied to the extent to which businesses can deliver up to you the products and services you need and desire. We're not just talking about our luxuries, we're talking about our necessities. I remember during Hurricane Frances and Jane, when the electricity was off in Grand Bahama for weeks and weeks and weeks, I remember seeing a young lady running from gas station to gas station, running up and down the gas stations with her baby in her hand, God is my witness, screaming, I need milk for my baby. I really need milk for my, because there was no milk around. It was crazy, right? But that was an example of just how fundamental and foundational businesses are to supplying up for us the products and services we need and want to live a quality of life that we get to say makes us a prosperous society. And so you don't want to hamper or hinder businesses' ability to deliver up those products and services. And so the government has to always take into consideration. By the same token, that's why you want to support the government's ability to get the resources it needs to operate too, because it provides an environment for businesses to be able to deliver up those products and services. So it's a great balancing act that has to take place and a consideration that has to go into how the government ultimately carries on its work. We're going to take our final break and pay our respects to our wonderful sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our final break. You're listening to Z Live and Chicago Language. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. So glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. Let me pick out a couple of things here in this row between the opposition and the government. So the opposition said, in quote, "The opposition cannot fathom how the government would find it appropriate to enter into any set of tax reform measures that will have a negative effect on every single key metric. And people cannot accept a proposal that does not support sustained economic growth and better employment opportunities," end quote. So, as I said earlier, if the people of the Bahamas, if you, the people of the Bahamas, cannot support any measure that does not support sustained economic growth and better employment opportunities, well, let me put it this way. Whenever your government taxes, every economic theory and almost all practical examples will confirm that there is going to be a negative impact on the economy. Okay, that's a given. You tax, you're taking money out of people's pockets, business people, consumers. If you take money out of business people's and consumers' pockets, they are going to have less to spend and to save and to invest. If they have less to spend, to save and to invest, if the amount extracted is significant enough over a long enough period of time, that's going to have an effect on employment, growth, et cetera, et cetera. That's the theory and the practice. So if the government is not going to be able to do anything that has that effect, let's remove taxation as an instrument of government altogether. This was the reality when the first tax was introduced in the Bahamas. It's reality when the first tax was introduced into the Bahamas after decades, which was called the value-added tax. It was the reality when the tax was raised from the initial 7% or 7.5% to where it ended up, right? So that's reality. If you don't want a negative impact on your economy and practically every metric, economic metric, do not tax in your country. It is as simple as that. Okay? And so this is not an argument that can be robustly defended. Not that argument. But then the government goes and says that Pintard's criticism that instead of corporate income tax paper, government should consider a fuller fiscal reform plan that looks broadly at the nation's tax system The government says the leader of the opposition seems intent on becoming a professional critic, frequently opposing proposals without presenting alternative solutions. Now, the present government, who was in opposition, did the same thing. Opposed practically everything that the Minister administration did. And so did the Christie administration, Christie group, and it was the opposition. So did the Ingram group, and it was the opposition against Finland and Christie. This is what oppositions in the Bahamas do. They are professional critics. That's their job. They call a loyal opposition. Opposition. Not the loyal corporation. They call a loyal opposition. Yeah, their job is to keep the government's feet to the fire. Their job is to criticize government's proposal. Even if the proposal is good, they're supposed to criticize it to see how it can be better. They're supposed to offer alternatives too when they get a chance to do so. Well, they're offering an alternative now. They're just saying to you, I wouldn't do it this way. I wouldn't have a narrow proposal on corporate income tax. I would do a broader fiscal reform. That's what they're saying. It's the job. But it's the same job that the present government had when it was in opposition, and it did. To their credit, and they're now the government. So this unfortunately appears to be a foreign concept for the opposition leader. It's rather confusing that the leader of the opposition would critique our administration's approach to reviewing tax reform when his shadow minister of finance, Kwesi Tonkin, has urged our government to take a comprehensive look at corporate tax. I don't understand that. What he's saying is, yeah, take a look at it comprehensively against your spending, against your all the other taxations, and see how you come up with a new something, something, something. So again, you know, tip, tat, butter, and fat, and those who get to listen determines that. But here we are. So if I am a business, we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead, we're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, hi, how are you? Just still here.
Hey, yes, how are you doing?
Listen, I was going, the other day there were reports that the real property tax people say they're going to foreclose on people's homes. Right?
Not on homes. Not on Bahamian residences, no.
Sorry?
No, they did not include Bahamian residences, no.
It's not Bahamian residences, just their businesses.
A business or some property, but not an owner-occupied resident of a Bahamian.
Okay, so I guess, of course, I was curious to know if they were going to find a place for Bahamians to live the way they do for the Haitians.
No, that was not what they asked.
That is not the matter.
No, no, sir. No.
Okay, I apologize.
No problems. Just happy to be able to help. Okay, take care.
Okay.
You too. Come on. Okay, so I have a text here that says, in 2015 and 2018 with VAT, we had our two best years re economic growth. But first of all, VAT was introduced in 2015. The latency effect of anything would come afterwards. So in 2015, the Bahamian economy grew by 1%, right? In 2016, it had negative growth of 0.9%. And then in 2017, it rebounded to 3.1%. Then there was the raising of VAT. And the following year, the economy grew by 1.8%. All right, and then after that, we went into the pandemic. I think I'd be sitting now guessing on these matters, eh? This is straightforward as night following day. You do not extract $500 million out of an economy and do not expect it to have an adjustment to that. You do not. You do not do that. So no, I'm sorry, not the best years. It was not. Right? In 2014, the economy grew 1.8%. 2015, 1%. The next year, 0.9%. Now, maybe I'm looking at a different set of numbers, but that's what I have. So there was no economic shrinkage the years after that were our better years. But I'm just reading the numbers, though. But how is that? If you go in 2014, if GDP grows in 2014 by 1.8%, in 2015, if it grows by 1%, and if in 2016, the year after that is implemented, it shrinks by negative 0.9%, how is that not a shrinkage? How did it not? And man, y'all could argue with this all you know want. The numbers are there, period. Oh, boy. I just don't even, honestly, like, why does he even want to be an issue? When the VAT was being implemented by Christie Lewis, I said, this would happen. I mean, why wouldn't it? A business person called me and asked me about this, actually, and about their business and some. And I said, you pay a VAT, right? Then they remembered, oh, yeah. No, see, so this text is saying the VAT funds were spent largely back into the economy. Economies don't work like that. That's not how economies work. It's not that kind of simple math. No, sorry, Bob. You don't say you take a dollar out of Chicago pocket and you take a dollar and put it back in the economy through the government. It doesn't work like that. There is in the GDP equation. There is in the GDP equation the expectation. You remember that section that says G minus T? Right? G minus T. Well, you think all the money goes back in the economy. You think it goes like that. In any event, the numbers are right there. So if you get me better numbers, I would definitely take your better numbers. Because the only other place I can get the numbers from is the Bahamas National Statistical Institute. Other than that, I can't take any other numbers. But in any event, we'll have to see how this all plays out. One thing is good is the green paper anticipates a negative impact initially from any of the options implemented. And that makes theoretical and practical sense. Okay, and so we'll have to see what in fact is decided. But again, for you as a business person, you have to go and see from your own business line how this is likely to affect you. Look at the four options and see. It's somewhere between, if you are making more than $500,000, between 10% and 15%. You can see how that impacts you. If you are making less than that, there is one scenario in which you pay exactly what you're paying today. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. I'm good. Good.
Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.